Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Man, Jack, let's dive in as I'm sure most people listening or everyone listening has heard or seen the press conference by now with Middleton, Klentak, and McPhail. And man, I mean, geez Louise, if you haven't and you want to torture yourself, pause this and go watch it and come back. But we'll tell you all about it if you haven't. Man, Jack, I'll let you just kind of go here, but just the basic initial thought for me was maybe the worst press conference I've ever seen, certainly in Philadelphia sports, Jack.
Yeah, I would say it was up there with the Stacey Andrews day.
Sean Andrews, you mean?
Was it Sean? I thought it was.
Stacey for the press. You're correct. Yes. Stacey Andrews Day. You are correct. I forgot about that. Good call. Yes.
When the Eagles moved on from Brian Dawkins.
Yeah.
It was like, as a Phillies fan and as a lifelong Phillies fan and as everyone that listens to this podcast knows, like, James and I both just love the Phillies and we want them to succeed and be a smart organization and bring winning baseball back to Philadelphia, because ultimately, winning baseball is fun, and winning baseball is amazing. And you see what the Nationals are doing right now. You see what's going on in the playoffs, and you're seeing smart, well-run, you know, on one path organizations. And in leaving that press conference yesterday, as a lifelong Phillies fan, and as the Phillies really being all I care about, it was disheartening.
To say the least, Jack.
Yeah, like, I felt, obviously, as everyone else did, I felt worse after listening to the press conference. And then, it instilled no confidence in me. Like, this is supposed to be a team in a top five market that is firing on all cylinders and that is just has a plan, a very clear plan of how they're going to bring a championship back to Philadelphia. And they spent 57 minutes or whatever.
Yep.
And they didn't explain anything. Like, it was crazy to me. It felt like they were unprepared. I mean, Middleton goes on for 11 minutes.
Talking about being a CEO, Jack, something that, like, that 11 minute answer was among the worst things I've ever seen in a press conference. It was just, it was rambling. It was incoherent rambling about nothing. I couldn't believe it. Like, as he kept going, I just kept saying, is he still talking? He's still talking? What's he talking about? What is happening? It was unbelievable.
Still going?
It was stunning.
He's actually still talking.
Yeah, he is.
He's still talking right now. So, like, I wanted to leave that press conference being like, all right, this is what they're going to do going forward. Like, they fire the manager for this reason, and they have a clear plan of how they're going to get this team back on track. And what I just saw was a owner, now I guess CEO, that's like, yeah, I'm calling all the shots here. I'm calling the big shots, and if you don't like it, you can get out. It's basically what it was. It was like, if you don't like how I'm running the ship here, then you can just leave. And McPhail and Klentak just sat there, and like, they took it for 56 minutes. There's only two ways this is going to go, James. Obviously, you can never fire an owner, right? I mean, owners, just unless he sells a team, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, or if he pulls a Donald Sterling, which I'm not expecting with John Middleton.
John Middleton's a good dude.
Yes.
I think he's a
exactly.
good dude. And honestly, in watching it, I think his heart's in the right place. But, like, it's either going to go the path of Jeffrey Lurie, where Jeffrey Lurie stepped in and made his presence felt and made sure they fired Chip, brought back Howie, and got a franchise quarterback, or it's going to go the way of the Daniel Snyders, the Jerry Jones, the involved owners that just get too involved and care too much about public perception and stunt an organization's ability to win. And I I left that press conference yesterday feeling more towards the he's going to interfere too much. This is too dysfunctional. Who is going to want to come here with an overbearing owner that doesn't let his baseball people do his baseball people things? Like, I wanted to leave that press conference thinking, okay, he's going to go the Jeffrey Lurie route where he's going to get in and get out. Like, we haven't heard from Jeffrey Lurie since the Super Bowl. Like, he just hasn't talked because he hasn't needed to talk because everything's good with the Eagles, mostly. And I just don't know if – I think Middleton's almost so involved that he just can't – he can't step away, and that scares me. That scares me as a lifelong sports fan. It just – owners that get too involved, it generally doesn't go well.
Yeah, it's terrifying. And I agree. That was the main takeaway from yesterday was – man, John Middleton is running this show and he is way, way too involved. And like you said, I mean, his answer when asked about the team, not the Matt Breen question, shout out to Matt Breen and shout out to the reporters. I mean, Eskin, we all talked about on Twitter, Howard Eskin was fantastic in that press conference. John Johnson asked a good question. Absolutely. The reporters did their job. They did everything they could to try and elicit the answers we wanted. The problem was these guys didn't give good answers. They gave ridiculous. You said it, Jack. Honestly, it seems like they didn't even know they were going into a press conference. That's the way it felt.
Well, outside, I would say outside of McPhail.
Well, I was going there. Well, what that's the craziest part of this whole thing is if you've listened to this show at all, you know that Andy McPhail has been the number one source of our what the F is he doing here ire. And he was by far the only adult in the room, the only person who looked like he had any idea how to handle questions. He looked like the only person who had an idea to prepare for questions. That John Johnson question, if we don't, we don't. He's like, yep, knew this was coming. Had a, you know, look, you're never going to be able to explain that away. And he even said, I'm an idiot. I'll never say it again. I shouldn't have said it. Like, he had an answer ready for it. The fact that McPhail was the only one who felt like he knew what he was doing at all up there was terrifying. I'm very with you there. But when the Matt Breen question, when essentially he was asked, you know, how can you blame Gabe Kapler when this front office didn't do anything to upgrade this team? You're blaming Kapler essentially. And what a soft answer it was that Middleton's main reason for getting rid of Kapler was the two September collapses. But Breen very correctly says, well, how can you blame that on Kapler when you guys didn't do anything to go out and add pieces? And he basically just says, sorry, it's all in the manager. That's how baseball works. What manager of any stature is going to want to come be this guy's manager, right? I mean, who could hear, if you're Joe Girardi, if you're Joe Madden, if you're whoever, you hear that phrase, sorry, it's all on the manager. That's the way baseball's worked for 100 years. Why would you ever come here, Jack?
Well, especially like if those guys saw what Gabe Kapler was working with.
Yeah.
Like if Joe Girardi's like, is that a Mike Morin 69 mile an hour changeup?
Is that Mike Morin in a tie game in the eighth inning?
Is that my setup, man?
My God.
Yeah, like I understand. I understand where Middleton came from, when he's talking about 20-36 in the last two Septembers. And I mean, me and you said it while watching it. Like the fight just didn't seem there. That something felt off watching this team in September's, and I understand why he did it, but the question's completely fair. Like, how can you fire a guy for bad September's when at the deadline your president is saying if we don't, we don't, and basically throwing in the white flag? Like, how are you judging the manager off of that, but you're bringing back the two guys that gave the manager the main reasons as to why the team was collapsing? Like, honestly, after hearing Middleton talk yesterday and talking about how results-based business and that falls on the manager, two things. What does he think a manager does? And a second thing is, why is Matt Klentak still here? Like, why, my main takeaway in reading everything, I've literally spent last night.
Yeah, Jack just keeps texting me, I'm watching it again. I think that's happened three times already. I'm watching again.
I watched it this morning again. I got 40 minutes through. And I cannot believe Matt Klentak still has a job. And I think that the only reason he still has a job is because of the extension that he got. Obviously, the only reason he still has a job.
Yeah, John Middleton doesn't want to look like a fool. That's what it is. He called him Branch Rickey. He said he's an elite general manager. He gave him an extension 7 months ago. John Middleton doesn't want to admit his fault there. That's what it is.
Yeah, and for this whole results-based business and this all falls on the manager, like, dude, he, I think he thinks, I actually wonder if he spent a little too much time with old Jeffrey over there, because like going firing Chip Kelly and firing Gabe Kapler is not one and the same.
No.
Like Chip Kelly is a football coach. Football coaches do a lot more than what baseball managers do. Like,
way
baseball
more
is a game.
And especially Chip, yeah, who sees control. Like, people forget part of the reason Jeffrey did it when he did was because Chip Kelly essentially had taken control of personnel and then wasn't taking any responsibility for those decisions. Like, it's an incredibly different situation. And for what it's worth, Lurie acted decisively and didn't wait 11 days after the season. He fired him before the last game of the season, which you almost never see in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but here's the thing. I want to give John, like, I like how thorough he is about decisions. That doesn't bother me too much. I know what you're saying.
The only reason it bothers me is because of how it treated Kapler. It makes Kapler into like this sympathetic figure. It was just, and again, that if Middleton, they talk in this press conference about how Middleton in the month of July is when he's starting to question Kapler. It still takes you that long after the season. You couldn't see this coming. They were out of it by September 1st. We all knew it. Like, they weren't technically, but we all knew it. We talked about it nonstop. Like, really? You need all that time after the season, even though you for so long. And what that speaks to, Jack, is the indecision between this front office, the fact that he didn't want Kapler here, but didn't trust his guys. I mean, the fact that Andy McPhail point blank said, I had to bridge the gap between these two guys. I couldn't believe they put that out there. I mean, that's just saying, here, look at our dysfunction, baseball world, fans, everybody. We three guys on a decision about our manager were so effed up in the way we're doing it and the way we can't agree with each other that it took us 11 days and I had to bridge the gap between these two. Like, that was so bad, Jack.
Yeah, and then how about Klentak? He says, he spends like 3 minutes talking about how great Kapler was, how great the culture was, how we're not where we are today without Gabe Kapler or whatever. And then at the end, he goes, "This is about as collaborative as possible."
I have the quote. The quote was, "As collaborative as it could be." What the hell is that? Like, I want a front office that's just collaborative. Like, we don't need to be as it could be. That's bad, man.
And then for Klentak to blame the market for Gabe not being here anymore, basically,
oh,
was unbelievable.
Basically, blame fans. He basically said, y'all couldn't handle Kapler. Like, and whether or not there is truth, like, we all know there's some truth to that. We all know that there are people in this city who have been calling for Kapler's head since the moment he got here and all that, but you don't say that, Matt. Like, what is wrong with you?
He's clearly just so upset that they fired Kapler.
Oh, he is super pissed.
Yeah, you saw. It looks like he lost his puppy yesterday.
It did. He looked like a deer in headlights that entire press conference. Like, he wanted to be anywhere else on earth. He'd rather be in a prison cell in some small Russian town than sitting up in that press conference.
And Middleton, like, I think quite candidly that this is a learning experience. I can just imagine Matt being like, "Oh my God, get me out of here!" and then for Howard to have the stones to ask that question,
I loved it.
With those two sitting there,
I texted him. I was like, "Howard, that was awesome." And he's like, "I did what had to be done." And he's right.
Well, I mean. We all know Howard. I mean, he was boasting about how he was going to ask that question.
But he's great. But he's great at it. He still deserves credit for it. Like that. Like you said, it takes stones to go in there and look Matt Klentak at Andy McPhail in the face as John Middleton sitting there and be like, "Why are these two guys here?" Like, that takes some stones.
The most asinine thing from yesterday, of all the asinine things, was without a doubt, as Howard asked about the minor league system and how horrible
it is. Oh,
yeah,
buddy. I was going to get there.
Right, and how horrible it is. And first off, even mentioning Cole Irvin in that thing is like a crime.
Oh.
It's like, cool. They brought up Cole Irvin, who stinks. But for Howard to ask that question about how bad the farm system is, Middleton to get the question, shush off Andy McPhail, and say, "Yeah, but let's think about it this way. In the first half, our bullpen was 26th, and the second half, we were 4th in ERA." What does that even mean?
Unbelievable. And how about this response to that as well, saying this? He said, quote unquote, John Middleton said, "You tell me what part of this organization isn't better today and really substantially better today than it was 4 years ago when they came." Are you freaking kidding me, John? Like, is that a, what a freaking asinine thing to say? Dude, your farm system is a disaster. And these guys had 4 years to build it. 4 years. It is like to defend them in that way and to say like, that was like the image that Middleton gave there is like, we're good. You guys don't know what you're talking about. Everything's going great here. It was so asinine. But Jack, my head hurts just rereading that quote.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the farm system is a disaster. I think they have quality major league players. The problem is they don't have
superstars.
They don't have the Soto coming through, the Acuna coming through. They don't have the young guys coming through. Like, and you're asking me this coming right off of the Alec Boehm and Spencer Howard Arizona Fall League show. So if you could please step off on the whole farm system.
I should have known my audience here.
Yeah, I mean, come on, we're right here. But yeah, for him to be like, oh man, like obviously the team's in better shape. Like the team was winning 65 games.
Any team, anyone could have gotten them to be in better shape than they were with 65 games. The point is, they're not nearly far enough along. Like it's such an ass. It's to say that to us, to the fan base, to the media, to say it that way, to phrase it that way, is basically saying you're all dumb. Like, we know, we're not idiots, John. We know that it's better than a 66-win team. That doesn't mean that enough has been done or that it's close to good enough.
Well, and also, like, bringing up that they had 17.3 wins above replacement this year in their acquisitions this offseason. Like, yeah, you add Bryce Harper and JT Real.
Yeah, it's like, obviously. Yeah. Jack, have you ever heard of this website called baseballreference.com?
Yeah, I can't believe he went to Baseball Reference in the middle of a press conference.
Dude.
It was like, I feel like Middleton, you know, I feel like the PR people went to him and like were trying to prepare him. He was like, nah.
He's like, no. Yo, it was like a clear out session in basketball. He's like, get out of my way. I got this. I got it. It honestly, like, if the PR staff were responsible for prepping him, they should fire the entire PR staff. Obviously, I agree with you. I think the PR staff was just like hiding in a closet and saying, oh God, I can't believe. And that's so, it's so frustrating too, because this guy's a billionaire. He's a billionaire. And I understand that you get to that level of life, that level of success that you think you know better, that you think you don't need help and stuff. But PR, you hire PR people literally for this specific situation, the smartest people, the best leaders. And I think this kind of dovetails into what we're talking about with Middleton wanting to control everything. The smartest leaders in this situation, instead of saying, I got this, they go to their PR staff and say, tell me everything I need to know. Tell me exactly what I should do. How's the best way to handle this? How do I answer? Boom, 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 boom. These 8 questions that I know 100% will be asked to me. It was unbelievable. That's why McPhail with if we don't, we don't question. He's like, yep, news was coming. Ready for it. Good to go. It felt like there was not a single question that John Middleton was asked that he was like ready for. It's crazy, man.
Kobe Middleton.
Oh God!
Clear out.
Well, it's serious. Clear out, Kobe. That's good. Kobe Middleton. Yes, but that's what it was like.
I mean, I think here's the thing: is that I think his heart was in the right place. Like, I want to send a message that this is on me, and don't make this about the two guys next to me. Like, I'm the guy.
Yeah, you shouldn't have had them sitting next to him then, if he was going to do that, Jack. Like that. I mean, crazy. Don't have them sitting next to them and just talk, and don't have them right there to like have these questions asked in front of them and make these awkward things. And Klentak basically like trying to say he wanted Kapler without throwing you under the bus right next to you. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah, it felt like he was trying to be Steinbrenner, and he was so cocky. It was like, he was so like, do you know who I am? Yeah. Like, first off, I don't want the Phillies run like a normal business. I want like,
of course, it's a very different business. This is not a normal business. It's a professional sports team. It is so different.
Yeah, I know. That's what I don't get. Like, he's acting like this is he's a CEO. Like, sure, your title is CEO, but you're an owner. Like, you're not this is not a business. You're not, like, I just don't get, like, it's just a manager. I know that sounds crazy, but like for a 57-minute press conference to explain why you fired Gabe Kapler It's like you could have just said it wasn't good enough. It could have just been. It should have been a 15-minute press conference. Like it was. It's just a manager. It's just a manager. And another thing that I thought was just insane was they're talking about McPhail in the if we don't, we don't thing. Was like, yeah, you would have been mad at me if we gave up the prospects and got the bullpen pieces we need. It's like, Andy, again, buddy, all we're saying is that you could have given up fringe prospects and helped your team that way. Like Daniel Hudson cost the Nationals a 22nd ranked player in their farm system.
Yep.
You're telling me you couldn't get Daniel Hudson, but we're getting Blake Parker?
Yeah, and again, like, also, step further, you also could have signed Dallas Keuchel too, which I'm surprised wasn't asked about directly, but there were...
Well, the luxury tax question was that,
yeah,
I think.
Essentially, you're right, it probably was, but still. And again, look, I didn't love that answer either. I know that it's, you know, smart. You have to be careful about the luxury tax and whatnot, but for him to just say, hey, we're not going over it for the second wild card, like point blank, like... I didn't love that answer. It doesn't make me feel like he'll go way over it if he needs to at any point.
Well, he did say that.
He said he'll spend. I know. I'm just saying. I didn't love it.
Yeah, I'm glad it was addressed, though.
Well, it had to be brought up. Again, that's the thing is there were so many things yesterday that had to be brought up. That's the problem. There were so many questions, so many answers that are needed. And again, because of 11-minute answers about being a CEO, we didn't get everything we needed, and they certainly didn't answer things the way that we wanted them to in all cases. But I do think the reporters did a good job of addressing those issues. To your point before, though, I mean, the fact that the Phillies PR staff allowed it to go on for 56 minutes is unfreaking believable. Like, what are you doing? Derek Boyko would have had a heart attack if he were in charge of PR in that moment. Like, he would have shut it down 20 minutes earlier, at least. I mean, like, that's my point. Like, why don't you... it's so frustrating that the whole thing from start to finish, from the way it was set up with all three of those guys there, from what they said, from the way they acted, to how long it went on, to the content of their answers, it was a disaster, top to bottom, front to left, right to left, all of it. Like, it was just a complete and total miss in what was probably the most important press conference for the team in, I don't know, forever, like a really long time.
Yeah, and I guess my biggest frustration in leaving it was that I just don't know what the plan is here. I don't think the owner is on the same page with his baseball guys, which is obvious. But like whenever Hinkie talked, it was like, oh, I see the vision here. Like, I see where this is going. With the Phillies, I don't know what the vision is. I don't know where they plan on going from here. And I honestly. It's almost like they have to spend their way out of it.
Not almost, like there's nothing. That is it. Right now, at least, especially with Harper, like we always talk about, with Harper entering age 27, Romuto in his prime, like the core of the team they have now, the clear need to compete, and I'm sure Klentak and McPhail probably feeling it more than they were at the trade deadline last time. I mean, this team doesn't have a choice. If they want to compete now, the only way they could do it is to go out and spend.
It is. Like, you open the window by trading your best prospect for JT Realmuto. Like, they have to spend their way out of it, and that's just not the most healthy thing in the world. Like, I'm worried. It's either they have to spend their way out of it or kind of do a reset, and they're not going to do a reset. They're not going to trade off pieces to kind of rebuild. So they have to go more in and just keep spending money if they want to be competitive. Because if they don't, they're going to just go. They're just going to turn into the Flyers. They're going to turn into the Sixers, the pre-processed Sixers. So you're going to have to act like the big boy here, John. Like, that's the only way out of this. Like, my hope is that they can spend the money, bring in a Gerrit Cole, remake that pitching staff, have a good, you know, have all the money up there in the top players, and then figure out the draft. Just figure out the draft. Get a new scouting director in here, and The Dodgers haven't picked in the top 10 since God knows when. But they're still able to draft Cody Bellinger, still able to draft Gavin Lux, Dustin May, all these guys they were able to bring up out of nowhere. They're able to compete while also being able to facilitate that with nailing the draft. So there is a way out of this, but what the Phillies are at right now is that they just have to spend their way out of it. And that is just generally not a good way to build a franchise. So it's definitely terrifying where we're at.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.